The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Love. Courage. Truth. Glenn Beck.
Jacob Marley. Today, just like the ghost of Christmas yet to come, a dark phantom, a warning of misery and chaos and chains that we'll never be able to release, keep kicking down our door. Frightened by the specter, the Senate passed a funding bill last night, staving off the ghost of what to come. Yes, the government could be shut down for 2 weeks. No! Are there no workhouses? But imagine for a second that we actually let the government shut down. I know. Terrifying, right? To the average American, they're like, no way! We couldn't survive without those clowns in Washington! What would happen? Yes, of course, widespread despair and pandemonium. Or we could all wake up snug in our beds like Scrooge on Christmas morning and throw open the shutters. Boy, you down there, what day is it? I don't know, a day like everything else. You know, it's Wednesday. The truth is, the government really doesn't shut down during a government shutdown. It's kind of like the Patriot Act really isn't patriotic. I know, it's crazy. We're going to shut the government down, but not really. Millions of government workers just keep on going to work. NSA agents are going to continue to snoop on you. TSA agents will still pat you down and put a finger where a finger doesn't belong. Traffic controllers will still try to stay alert with Red Bull. The post office will still deliver your packages. Border patrol, federal prison guards, FBI agents, doctors and nurses at the VA, and most of our military service men and women will still show up to work. When I say most, those who actually have to use their gun will still be using their gun. Social Security and Medicare checks will still be mailed. Food stamps will still be distributed. And all of it will still go to our national debt. There will, of course, be some agencies and institutions that will have to close for a little while.
No, my gosh. People are going to die in the streets when they close down the National Organic Program for 2 weeks. What are the penguins going to do when the United States Antarctic Program is closed?
The Smithsonian will be closed. The National Museum of Natural History.
Oh, my gosh. The kids are all going to be idiots.
The kids are pretty much idiots now. And it is really terrifying to know this, but I'm here to deliver you the news. If they shut the government down, the Woodrow Wilson International Center for Scholars will be closed. Now, call me crazy, but I think we could close those things permanently. Keep in mind that not all employees will be told to go home from these agencies and institutions. Just my favorite string of words. Only non-essential employees. Non-essential employees. Now let's take this out to the real world. Let's say you're in a company that is struggling for money. And they have to temporarily lay off a few people just because they can't get the budget right. And they say, oh, you know what, guys? You guys have to stay. Your jobs, because we can't live without you. But you are a non-essential employee. Wouldn't you start to look for a job? Because I don't think non-essential employees should be employees in the first place. A government shutdown is not scary. In fact, a government shutdown is a dream world. We're the dreamers of dreams. What truly is terrifying is realizing how bloated we have let the government become. If a government shuts down before Christmas, it might just be the best present of all. And maybe we could finally address the most chilling ghost of them all. The ghost of Christmas present. The debt ceiling.
It's Friday, December 8th. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Oh, where to start, where to start, where to start?
What's Bitcoin up to? Quick! Are we all zillionaires yet?
70 billion is now.
70 billion. Wait,
70 billion.
80 billion now.
Oh my gosh, no, it's
81
actually down,
billion.
Down to only 15,612.
Oh my gosh, we're so poor. We're never going to make it.
It's time to shut down the society.
It really is.
Say.
Government is closing. Bitcoin is down to 15,000. What to do? We're going to actually explain why some of this run-up may be happening. We have a good friend who actually for years worked at the Chicago Exchange and is going to explain futures and what this means for Bitcoin on Sunday. We have him coming up in just a second, so stand by for news. Now, there's a couple of things that I would like to start with. I think the most effective and best tweet the president has ever tweeted has arrived just in time for Christmas. This is a tweet that he tweeted about Jerusalem, and it is a string of all the presidents saying, I'm going to, and yet they didn't. Listen.
Jerusalem is still the capital of Israel and must remain an undivided city.
1992.
As soon as I take office, I will begin the process of moving the United States ambassador to the city of Israel as chosen as its capital.
I continue to say that Jerusalem will be the capital of Israel. And I have said that before, and I will say it again.
And Jerusalem will remain the capital of Israel, and it must remain undivided.
We will move the American embassy to the eternal capital of the Jewish people, Jerusalem.
Therefore, I have determined that it is time to officially recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. While previous presidents have made this a major campaign promise, they failed to deliver. Today, I am delivering.
Hello? That is an effective tweet.
Yeah.
That's a good tweet. Mm-hmm. No sad, no pathetic, no failing. That's a great tweet. That's how you use Twitter, Mr. President. However... there's a lot of naysayers now on, of course, on Jerusalem being the capital. There's a whole string of them that are just good eating for a Friday.
But, you know, also some real praise. I mean, from world leaders. I mean, Netanyahu, you heard his comments at all? Did you hear any of this?
Yeah, he was kind of, I mean, it kind of felt like, whoa.
Really doing it this time?
Thank you.
This is his speech from the other day.
We're profoundly grateful for the president for his courageous and just decision to recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel and to prepare for the opening of the U.S. embassy here. This decision reflects the president's commitment to an ancient but enduring truth, to fulfilling his promises, and to advancing peace. The president's decision is an important step towards peace, for there is no peace that doesn't include Jerusalem as the capital of the state of Israel. I call on all countries that seek peace to join the United States in recognizing Jerusalem as Israel's capital and to move their embassies here.
Wow.
I share President Trump's commitment to advancing peace between Israel and all of our neighbors, including the Palestinians. This has been our goal from Israel's first day, and we will continue to work with the president and his team to make that dream of peace come true.
Fantastic.
I also want to make clear, there will be no change whatsoever to the status quo at the holy sites. Israel will always ensure freedom of worship for Jews, Christians, and Muslims alike.
This is, I mean, nobody else has done that. If you were a Jew or a Christian, you were not going to the holy sites prior to Israel having control of Jerusalem. I mean, I've wanted to go onto the Temple Mount a million times. I'm not welcome on the Temple Mount. It would cause a scene, I was told. And so I'm not welcome on the Temple Mount. You couldn't do that before. Now, because Israel has control of all of the holy sites, they protect them, they guard them, and they keep them open for everybody, which I think is tremendous. Okay, now can we go to Joe Scarborough? We're just going to recap the week on this. Here's Joe Scarborough on MSNBC and his view of what the president did with Jerusalem.
If you look at the warning from the State Department and you talk to any diplomat, it makes everything we do in the Middle East all that more difficult. I mean, and across the world. That.
Yeah. Mm. Okay. The problem with this is Joe Scarborough. He was a congressman.
Not in 1995.
Yeah, he was.
Oh, really? Yeah. Well, he didn't vote on the bill.
No,
that was going to move the capital to Jerusalem.
He did.
Well, he didn't. It had nothing to do with moving the embassy, of course.
Yeah, it did.
It really, but he voted against it. Obviously, you could hear.
No, he voted for it.
Oh,
that's the only problem here. Is you were so excited about it?
Yeah, it's all run of the mill MSNBC commentary on this issue, right? It's not like he went crazy there. He's saying what every Democrat is saying about this move. You can't do this move because it's going to inflame things in the Middle East. And all those terrorists will get so upset about us at us because right now they're just so docile. But they may be upset
at the move of that capital. That's why the Democrats are not saying that they should move against the neo-Nazis or anybody else in our society that might be angered by some of their moves. You know, neo-Nazis, they're leaving alone. Of course, you know, the Tea Party, they're like, hey, let's respect their rights. Let's respect them. There's no Democrat that is saying, I don't care what they say, just jam it down their throat.
No. Good. Okay, I'm glad we covered that.
Good. Now, there's one more. And Stu, I want you to refresh my memory while you're listening to this. Try to remember a segment on this program with this host.
Okay.
And what this host told me about religion. Here's Chris Matthews about Jerusalem and blame it on the Christians.
By the way, deaths are coming now because of this. You can just bet in the next few weeks we're going to have hell to pay for this totally erratic decision by this president. Every party that's had the White House since 48 has recognized you have to be careful over there. I lived over there right up Damascus Gate, right where that picture was. And I had to tell you, everything is intricate over there. Bethlehem is intricate with the Armenian church and the Catholic church. Everything is intricate. The guys with the ultra-religious people and the Jewish community and the Arab call to prayer, it's all intermingled and intricately combined. And to mess that up now makes no sense for anybody to do that. It's not in America's interests. Don't think this isn't related to Alabama next week. It is related because it's the Christian evangelicals down there with their crazy ideas about Israel, which is, I don't know, mythical. They don't understand the situation over there and how tricky it is ethnically and tribally. They don't care because it's a religious belief. Trump's playing to that this week.
Hang on just a second. So it is the Christians that did this because of their, quote, mystical belief around Jerusalem.
So dismissive of religion is that, right? Chris Matthews.
Okay, hang on just a second. So is there any, I mean, surely the Arabs don't have a mystical belief around Jerusalem.
No faiths do. No faiths see.
The Jews don't.
No,
it's
not
like an invisible God talked to Abraham on that particular space. Mm-hmm. Or that Muhammad was riding his horse and his horse leapt off the rock into heaven. There's no mythical belief there, right? It's just the evangelical Christians in Alabama that made this happen.
And I think the eternal capital of Jerusalem is all about the special election in Alabama. Has been since 48.
Yeah.
Has been since the beginning of time.
Yeah.
It really all came down to this whole Roy Moore election.
It's totally erratic. you know, having the president have to sign a wait, I've got to go to the bathroom order every 6 months to stop the law from being enacted and moving the embassy. It's totally erratic for him now.
Totally erratic of a president to wait 22 years after a law is passed
to do it,
to actually go through with the law.
So now I want to ask you, Stu, try to recall Chris Matthews, because he's like those Christians with their mythical beliefs.
Mythical or mystical, whatever it was.
Yeah, mystical.
Yeah,
mystical beliefs.
Very dismissive of Christianity and faith. This is a clip from, and I'm always, every time, this happens several times, from 2003. So it's been a while, not as long as you go back to the passing of the bill about Israel. So it's not back to 1995, just back to 2003. A very young Glenn Beck on the air with Mr.
Heard this.
Chris Matthews. Listen.
I just want to know what the turning point in your life, what brought you to Jesus, Arnold? What changed you?
Well, you don't have to make fun of that transition because it's affected my life and probably yours, too.
Absolutely. So it has.
You don't have
I'm
to make fun of Jesus.
Man.
I mean, I don't like that, but I seriously don't like that. But I think you're right about the main point you're making.
Right.
A bit sarcastically, which is you have to hit bottom. And I truly believe you got to decide that this isn't working before you try something better. Anyway, we'll be right back. This guy's a great guy, Glenn Beck. When I come to work really late, I listen to the guy coming into work tonight, Glenn Beck from working out of Philadelphia, the author of The Real America.
Okay, so did you hear what he said? Don't make fun of Jesus.
You said, who's coming to, it was like a come to Jesus moment reference, right?
Come to Jesus.
You know, come to Jesus. What's his moment that just turned him to Jesus? That big moment in your life that turns your life around, phrase that many people use. Chris Matthews, so offended that you would bring it up flippantly, he stops the interview to criticize you for referencing Jesus like that.
I don't think you need to say that sarcastically like that.
That transition means a lot to me. I mean, who is this guy? Now it's like, these damn Christians with their mystical beliefs. Bastards.
All right. I have told you, this year has been an incredible year for me and my family. This is the year that my son's voice changed and he started to become a man. So weird. I mean, I have three daughters, and you don't have that moment where you're like, they're gone. Overnight, his voice changed, and it was like, hey, Dad, how are you? Bizarre. And it's made me think of time and, you know, everything that we have missed and didn't do, and I don't want any more regrets. I don't. Now, it is really hard to talk to your kids, and I don't know if I'm a freak. I've worked my whole life. I've been working in my dad's bakery when I was 8, so I don't know how to play. I'm not good at play. I'm a drag at parties, as you can imagine. Anyway, the game Say Anything. There's no stress, no timer, no rush. It's a game that's really relaxed. It takes 30 minutes to play, which my wife likes because she's got Monopoly phobia. But 30 minutes, you're gonna talk to your kids, and they're going to just share how they think in a really disarming way. I mean, it's just a game, man. It's not like a trick, you know, designed by some, you know, psychiatrist to get you to talk to your kids. It's just a stupid game, but it works. It's amazing because you'll sit at the table and you'll be like, really? You have no idea how your kids think until you play this game. It's also great because it's a game that's not going to cause a bunch of arguments. And so if you want it for Christmas, if you have those people coming to your table and you're like, we don't know how to talk anymore, play Say Anything. It's available now, I think, at Target. You can get it at Target and Toys R Us. The name of the game, grab it for Christmas, Say Anything.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
Let's just go look at the candidates, the 17 candidates that were running for president on the Republican side. All of them said that they would move the embassy to Jerusalem. And I only believed one, maybe two.
Go through the names. George Pataki. No.
No way.
Lindsey Graham.
No way.
Bobby Jindal. No.
No.
Scott Walker. No. Rick Perry. No. I like Rick. I like Bobby Jindal a lot. Jindal is, you know, I think a potential maybe, but I still think
he's a maybe.
Rick Santorum, maybe. Although I still probably lean no. Jim Gilmore, no. Carly Fiorina, love Carly, but probably not.
Maybe. I would put her into a maybe. Mike, if she said it, she's a, I mean, I've not seen anybody who is just, is what she says she is.
Again, there's a, people believe it should happen, but there's always that pragmatic pressure that always, says don't do it.
And it's always standing in a room full of people, you know, from the State Department. Mm-hmm. They're like, this is going to be the end of the world.
Mike Huckabee, I mean, I don't like Mike at all. It's, he's maybe an outside possibility, but I think generally no. Chris Christie, no. Rand Paul, definitely not. Jeb Bush, no. Ben Carson, no. Marco Rubio,
no.
I don't think so. No. Outside possibility, maybe.
Yeah.
John Kasich, definitely not. Ted Cruz, I say yes because he was that was like the first thing in his platform.
And I said no on Donald Trump.
And I said no on Donald Trump, and you got to give him a lot of credit.
Yeah, give him all the credit all he the deserves credit on that.
Glenn Beck. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Hey, I want to go on record here just because I made a promise during the campaign, and I did this with Gorsuch, and, you know, I've been, you know, I've said a bunch of stuff similar all week with the Jerusalem thing, but I just want to make sure that I fulfill a promise that I made during the campaign. When it comes to Jerusalem, I said that he would never, ever do that. There was no way. And I said, if you were voting for him on that, you were a fool. And I just want to apologize to you and to Donald Trump. He meant what he said. He did it. I was wrong. You were right. So I just want to make sure that I fulfill that promise that you know that I am going to call it as I see it, and I will make sure you understand I was wrong when I was, because I would never, I mean, obviously, no way he's going to do this. So anyway, take care of that. I want to talk to you a little bit about Bitcoin, because Bitcoin has been going through the roof. If you would have put $1,000 into it, let's say you put $5,000 into it in June, you're up to $75,000 now. It looks like a bubble, but there you can make an argument that it's not. Let's discuss about what's going to happen come Sunday, because Sunday is a big day, and it may be part of the reason of this big run-up. There are future tradings and futures being traded as of Sunday, and also institutional investors can be involved. So to break it down for dummies, institutional investors, and I mean dummies like me, that means that funds like the California Teachers Fund, they can say, you know what, let's throw 0.5% or 1% of our investments into Bitcoin. Let's roll the dice with that. If that happens, that can drive the price through the roof. But there's something else. And this is usually a moderating thing, but it's usually very pessimistic. Futures. So people bet on what it's going to be in, you know, 30 days, 6 months. Is it going to go up or down? And that can change things psychologically. I don't really understand futures, but I have a good friend that does. His name is Adam Rich. And he was a trader on the Chicago market. And so he understands futures, because you've been doing like hog bellies and stuff like that.
Yeah. Am I on?
Yeah, you're on, Adam. How are you?
How you doing?
Good.
Good. Yeah. So I've been down on the trading floor since I started CBOE in 85. And I was a member there for about 15 years. And then I went across the street and started trading futures on soybeans and soybean meal and soybean oil. So what I thought I'd do is just kind of give a quick tutorial on how futures work and make a distinction between the difference between our price discovery models, which are futures markets. Those are price discovery mechanisms, as opposed to our equity formation markets, which are our equity markets, which are our capital formation markets. So I'm going to tell you what I did with soybeans. And you can substitute soybeans, a barrel of oil, or Bitcoin.
Okay.
So futures are risk transference. So say you're a farmer, and you have so many, you know, you're growing soybeans, and say soybeans are trading $10, and you think that there's going to be, you know, you don't know where beans are going, so you sell futures. You lock in a price for a certain percentage of your crop. Now, if the beans go lower, then you've locked in and you're happy that you procured enough resources so you can grow beans the next season.
Right.
If it goes higher, well, you're happy there too. Now, what happens is, if somebody, there's a big agribusiness that needs to buy soybeans to purchase, to make their food, and beans go higher. People like me come in, and there's a relationship between soybeans, soybean meal, and soybean oil, just like there might be a relationship between oil and, say,
gasoline or petroleum.
Oil
or,
exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. So then people like me come in and offer and sell and offer that supply of beans, and then they buy the products, the soybean meal and soybean oil, puts me back in line. You have to ask yourself, what is the economic benefit of having these Bitcoin futures? Who, you know,
what are the derivatives? You mean, what does Bitcoin affect? Kind of like soybeans make soybean oil and
delicious
and
veggie burgers.
Delicious veggie burgers.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. So the concept is the same. You may say, Adam, these are currencies. Well, let's say you're a big multinational company, and let's say Coca-Cola, and you get some of your income in Deutschmark or yen, and your business is not to make money in that currency transaction. To sell Coca-Cola. So they have a desk that manages that currency fluctuation for their earnings. Let's say you're a car dealership. Just a few months ago, it took more than, say, 50,000 bitcoins to purchase one car. Now it's like, what, four?
Right.
There's no stability. So it's not even really a currency. I mean, what are you going to do? So who's going to use this product? I want to make it clear. You're not investing in Bitcoin when you purchase these futures. They're all settled in cash. When I purchase or somebody purchases, say, soybeans, and they need the delivery of the soybeans, they issue a receipt and you take delivery of the soybeans. Same thing with, say, T-bills, any type of currency, you can take delivery of that currency. This is such a small market, and there's so much volatility. It scares me.
So, what's the effect of this, do you think? Is it something that where it just moderates some of that fluctuation?
Volatility? What's going to happen? What does this mean for Sunday?
Okay, so let's think about this. Who's going to participate in it? Well, certainly isn't going to be a retail investor. Let's say your the margin requirements are going to be enormous.
Meaning you can't borrow money to buy the futures. You're going to have to come in with the actual money because it's so volatile that it could be a huge crash.
So let's say you own one Bitcoin, or let's say you short one Bitcoin. Now you're going to introduce shorts into the mix. Well, I'll tell you something. There's no reason why this thing couldn't trade $100,000. It's not linked to anything, as I just told you. Oil is linked to natural gas and
correct.
And,
correct.
And other energy, or soybeans are linked to meal and oil. There's no linkage. You can't link this to Deutschmark, to yen, to any other currency. So I just told you that the CBOEs, they talked about having 30% margin. Okay, so if you're short one Bitcoin at $15,000, you got to come up with $5,000 in margin. That's an enormous amount of money. Now, let's take the CME. They're going to come out with their futures on December 18th. And they have price limits. The price can only go 20% in a day, up or down. Now, let's say, and I'm just spitballing, price of a Bitcoin is $25,000 and you're short one Bitcoin and it goes to $100,000. You're out. Do the math. $1.8 million, $1.9 million on one contract, because each contract at the CME is 5 Bitcoins.
Wow. So that might mean that people wouldn't want to necessarily take that risk on because of the volatility.
Well, it's going to keep a lot of speculators out of the market.
That's good.
So let's say that the Bitcoin's trading $20,000 now. It can only go up 20%. That's $4,000.
So what do you think this is going to do on? Do you think this is going to make any effect in the price over the next week?
You know, Glenn, it's really difficult to gauge because you're introducing where people are short, and what I'm trying to explain is that in the futures market, these things can get locked limit, where if you're short, you can't get out. You follow me? The future can only move so much. The spot can move as much as it wants. So if the spot price of Bitcoin is $100,000 and the future is trading $20,000, it can only go up 20% each day. And if you're short, you literally cannot cover your short and get out.
Well, that's actually good.
Yeah.
I think that's actually good.
And will people, too, Adam, also go into the actual Bitcoin markets to hedge what they're doing in the futures?
Well, again,
this is the nerdiest conversation I've ever had in my life.
Yeah, I hope I'm being clear. Okay, so the next logical question would be, well, if I can't do it with CME, I'll go over to the CBOE, which there are no limits, and I'll buy one there. Well, it doesn't work that way because there's no cross margining. And what that means is that each of the exchanges don't recognize each other, even though you might be short contracts on the CME and long contracts on the CBOE, you still have to come up with margin on both platforms.
So, Adam, go ahead, finish your sentence.
So the barrier to entry to trade this for the retail people is enormous. That's just not going to happen. So what do you have? You have big institutions and exchanges are going to pay these guys, and they have, you know, to make markets. But I'll tell you straight up, I've been there. If this thing goes sideways, all those agreements, you know, that we'll stand there, we'll make markets. That kind of goes out the window. Self-preservation takes over.
Okay, Adam, thank you so much for explaining a little bit of the futures markets. It's why I'm not on the trading floor. from Redmond Rich and Papa's Adam Rich, on what's going to happen on Sunday, the futures market, and what does it mean for Bitcoin? I think I can safely say I have no frickin' idea. No idea.
Okay, Glenn. Yeah.
That was one of those conversations. I was like, you don't know.
I'm not prepared for this. His first sentence was like, okay, there's two things. And I'm like, I don't know what either one of those things are. So I'm not going to. Yeah. Okay. Getting a good night's sleep. Easier said than done. Especially if you hear a noise downstairs. Now think about that. What do you do in this situation? You can turn on all lights and you can keep watch. You know, you can be nudged by your wife. Did you hear that? Did you hear that again? I'm telling you. Or you could have SimpliSafe. Protect your home, your house with SimpliSafe. SimpliSafe is a complete arsenal. And you can order it online in minutes. You can have it on your doorstep by this weekend. You can open up the box, plug it in, and you are protected with professional home security. There's no tools. There's no hard wiring. Literally, you plug this thing in, and it tells you exactly what to do. And you're just like, okay, computer, I'll do that. With SimpliSafe, no contracts or hidden fees. 24/7 professionally monitored your home and your family safe for $14.99 a month. So go to SimpliSafeBeck.com. Get a special 10% discount when you order today. That's SimpliSafeBeck.com. Get 10% off SimpliSafeBeck.com.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
So this is from the New York Daily News, and I have not heard this anywhere, and I wouldn't report it if it wasn't. New York Daily News is reputable. I mean, as reputable as anybody gets now. The day after the president has slurred his way through part of a speech, the White House announced that he is going to undergo a physical exam at Walter Reed National Military Medical Center early next week, and the results will be made public, according to the press secretary, Sarah Huckabee. There was the end of the speech. Can we get the end of the Jerusalem speech, please, so we can hear this? It's right at, you know, God bless the United States of America. They are saying now that he has, you know, he kind of trailed off. Here it is. Listen.
God bless Israel. God bless the Palestinians. And God bless the United States. Thank you very much.
Wow.
That's one word, though. I mean, slurred one word. Gosh, you could get me at the casino at 2 a.m. That's a lot worse than that.
Well, he's not at the casino at 2 a.m.
Well, I know. But I mean, you
do it again.
God bless Israel. God bless the Palestinians. And God bless the United States. Thank you very much.
I mean, it's one word. He made a long speech. So
what they're saying is this is ridiculous. He's fine. He was just his throat was dry and nothing more than that. Okay. So they're going to have a exam at Walter Reed.
I mean, better safe than sorry, right? I think that's the category. That's one thing I've always been amazed about Trump, and we said this during the campaign, is that his energy levels are
dynamo.
I don't know how the hell this guy in his 70s.
I know.
I mean, that the campaign schedule he kept up, the constant flying, the constant speeches.
Yeah, he does not stop.
That is one thing about Trump that I said from the beginning. That's an impressive thing because we did one weekend. I did. You did multiple. One weekend when we went on and we covered the Ted Cruz thing and followed his primary campaign around Iowa. And it was like, I don't know how any human being does that for that length of time. And they're doing this for 18 months now, where you're just driving from city to city and do speech after speech.
Why
you'd want to do this?
Yeah, it's the most grueling, awful. I'll never, ever, 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 ever. And hold me to this, please, America. Be involved in a campaign again. It was just awful. It was grueling. It was awful. It was worst of the worst.
You know, you never have time to stop and eat anything. Like,
right. Like, that's what I was thinking.
But it is true. It's like you wind up grabbing stuff. There's donuts around. You just feel like crap. I mean, it's just, I don't know how these guys do it, especially in your 70s.
Yeah, it was the donuts that made me. That's what really stuck out to me with the donuts. No, I mean,
it is. Food is important. It's sustenance.
Glenn Beck. Love, courage, truth. Glenn Beck.
Let's go back in the time machine back to 1999. Al Franken wrote a book called Why Not Me? The inside story of the making and unmaking of the Franken presidency. Yesterday, in the real-life version of the story, Senator Al Franken resigned. Well, sort of, kind of, not really. His announcement came after he drew the short straw and had to be tossed under the Me Too bus by his fellow Democrats in the Senate. Most of them finally pressured Franken to resign after a sixth woman accused him of being too hands-on with his, oh, look, I'm just a hands-on senator. Yeah, a little too much. It was actually the most non-resignation speech you will ever hear. Franken said that he would resign in the coming weeks, and he didn't apologize for anything. In fact, he basically said, I didn't do any of that stuff. But since they came after me first, I'm taking one for the team. Well, wait. In your wildest dreams, do you ever leave office if you didn't do something? If you are wrongly accused, and this is what's going to be on your Wikipedia page forever, you know, until Media Matters can have it finally contested and taken off. It's a pretty heroic thing to do, to take one for the team, but it's also super ironic that an upstanding, virtuous senator like Al Franken is being taken down because of those Republican dirtbags who are way worse. Ah. And that's the most important thing I hope you remember from Al Franken's remarks today. Until now, the Liberals' favorite senator from Minnesota was having a great year. He won rave reviews for his performance pretending to care about education while he grilled Betsy DeVos during her confirmation hearing. Then came his best-selling book out in May called Al Franken, Giant of the Senate. Democrats said Franken was well-liked, serious policymaker. There were even rumors of him running for president in 2020. Boy, we missed out on that one. But everything began to unravel for Franken last month with a photo of him leering at Leanne Tweeden's chest as if she were about to grope her, as if he were about to grope her while she was sleeping on the flight. America is better off without Al Franken in the Senate, if he actually resigns. Do you think he will? He's a sleazy guy who spews a lot of crude hate towards conservatives, but can't lose sight of the Democrats' larger strategy here. Al Franken, his number, may have been up first, but he's certainly not going to be the last on either side of the aisle. But by sacrificing Franken, Democrats can now bunker in on the moral high ground and lob their bombs about Republicans hating women and electing privileged perverts. It's coming. They've positioned themselves to appear more ethical than the Republicans just days before the Alabama people will go and probably elect Roy Moore to the Senate. In the never-ending political chess match, the Democrats just made a bold move. Republicans, wake up!
It's Friday, December 8th. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Mr. Bill O'Reilly, welcome to the program, sir, from BillO'Reilly.com with his new book, Killing England. What did you think about the resignation or non-resignation of Al Franken yesterday?
Well, the guy, I've known him for years, and I, on BillO'Reilly.com, I told my audience that I could not really cover him fairly.
Because you hate him.
I despise him.
Yes, I know.
If I could punch him and get away with it, I would. But I am.
Why? Wait.
No, I am.
Why do you feel that way?
Because you may remember in the beginning of the Fox News Channel, Franken ran around. He wrote a book about lying liars and mm-hmm. said that I was not brought up in Levittown, Long Island, which stunned my mother, who lived there 60 years. And she said to me, "Where did we grow up?" So he's a liar.
So it's really it's a knife fight because of your hometown.
Yeah, and other things. I mean, he's just a brutal, brutal guy. You know, here's a man who was elected to the Senate for we had no qualifications other than being Stuart Smalley. And you know, and what I like Minnesota, but when I go there, I'm shaking my head, going, why? Then he gets in and he votes 100% for whatever Barack Obama wants. Not one deviation, okay? So he's an ideological zombie, but he's a hater. That's what I really, really resent. So I told my audience, look, I don't know what he did. I don't know what he didn't do. He did go and help the troops. That's true. So I'm not going to really get into what
right, but you hate him because he's a hater. You hate him because
yeah,
he's a hater.
Kind of that. It's a little bit more sophisticated. I don't want to get too sophisticated.
No, sure, I know.
You're getting over the sniffles.
No, I know. So talk down to me. Talk down to me some more. Yeah, okay.
I hate him because he's a hater is a little bit too cliche.
Right? Sure.
I despise him because he's dishonest. Is that better?
Yeah, it's not good for a T-shirt, but it works. So, okay. Bill, here's and it really kind of builds off of what you said last week. You said Donald Trump is going to be in trouble with the sexual harassment
thing next
year. Okay, so
yeah.
let me just play this game. I think this is what happened to the Republicans in the 1960s. They were the ones that were marching with King. They were the ones that have for 100 years saying, hey, let's stop all this stuff. Then when push comes to shove, the Democrats just kind of switch real quick and they get all the credit for the civil rights movement and they pin it all on the Republicans. Here we have a group of Republicans, and I'm not talking about the clowns in Washington, I'm talking about the voters, that have been saying character matters, character matters, character matters. And they've been trying to hold these lines. And finally, because it looks like nothing else matters and too many people throw up their hands and they're just like, whatever, if we have to play their game, we're going to play their game. And now it looks like the Democrats are making this move to make themselves look like the moral leaders.
And there's no doubt about it. It's all about Roy Moore. And then President Trump, as you rightly pointed out. So Franken had to go so that the Democratic Party could position itself as the party of women. See, if you look at the platform, they're the party of African Americans. Mm-hmm. They're the party of Hispanic Americans. They're the party of women. They're the party of illegal immigrants. They're the party of LGBT people. They're the party of everybody except white guys. We hate them. Okay. So they're figuring the numbers because we're the party of all these other people, but we hate the white guys. The white guys can't overcome our majority in the polling place. That's the strategy. That's it. There's no other strategy. So whatever we have to do, and I mean whatever, if we have to burn out Franken, we're going to light the match. If we have to be dishonest and say that George Washington was a white supremacist because he held slaves, we're going to do that. If we have to take Thomas Jefferson's name off the high school because he held slaves, we're going to do that because they're white guys. See, we don't like white guys. White guys are the enemy. But everybody else, they're there for us and we're for them.
So, Bill,
that is the strategy.
Bill, would you, I mean, I can ask you this because you've already done this. So tell me the thinking on this. As I'm watching Al Franken yesterday, he says, yeah, I didn't do any of that. I didn't do any of that. Okay. But I'm going to resign because, you know, whatever. You didn't. You were like, I didn't do that. And I'm not apologizing for things I didn't do. And you are one of the only ones that are standing up and saying it didn't happen. It's a lie. And mm-hmm. I'm not taking it.
Yeah. And I mean, look, and we can pretty much prove that down the line. And, you know, life is very, very cruel. But Frank, in his mind, and again, I don't know what he did or didn't do. I just don't know. And I'm not going to weigh in on any of that because I don't want to be part of that kind of a situation. But in his mind, he didn't do anything. See, he's a narcissist. And that's what it comes down to with many, many of these people. He didn't do anything. It was just fun and games, or I'm an affectionate kind of guy, or I'm this, or I'm that. Again, I don't know what he did or didn't do. But in his mind, he is absolutely convinced that he's totally
innocent. So what was the deal?
And not only is he totally innocent there, but he's never in his entire life done anything wrong. That's what a narcissist is. And the reason he had to go was Chuck Schumer, the minority leader in the Senate from New York State. Schumer basically picked up the phone and said, look, Al, we're going to destroy you if you don't go. We're going to destroy you. Your own party's going to destroy you because you need to get out of there so we can attack the president through Roy Moore and other people. That's why he went. That's the only reason he went. Schumer is the toughest guy on the block. Why do you think no Democrats ever vote for tax reform or anything else? Because Schumer tells them, if you go outside what we tell you to do, we're going to challenge you in a primary and we're going to cut off all your money so you won't be able to run an effective campaign. This is what Schumer does. And that's what he did to Franken.
All right, let me switch gears to Roy Moore. There is a really troubling piece of video that has just been released. Do we have the audio, Sarah? Can we play this of Roy Moore in an interview?
He said that Russia was the focus of evil in the modern world.
You could say that very well about America, couldn't you?
Do you think?
Well, we promote a lot of bad things, you know?
Like?
Same-sex marriage.
That's the very argument that Vladimir Putin makes.
Well, then maybe Putin is right. Maybe he's more kin to me than I know.
What do you think of that, Bill?
You know, look, are you surprised by that?
No, no. Well, no, but I mean, the Putin thing.
Roy Moore is a very, very fringe politician. All right? He has made it clear throughout his career that he doesn't want any kind of gay stuff, that he thinks that, and what he's talking about is abortion. The reason that Roy Moore is going to win next week is abortion. The Alabama is the most pro-life state in the union, and the opponent, the Democrat, is a abortion on demand at any time, 10 minutes before you're supposed to give birth for no reason guy. That's why they're not electing Roy Moore. They're voting against his opponent because Moore is you know, fringe as you can get. And that's what's happening down there.
Although they voted for him in the primary against two candidates that were not fringe. I mean, Mo Brooks is a real conservative.
That was before any of this stuff came out. And true. Moore positioned himself as the Christian crusader. So he was the Christian crusader. And there are enough evangelicals in Alabama in a primary situation to get you elected on that platform.
For about 3 or 4 years ago, we warned about Vladimir Putin and what he was doing with the Christian movement. And he was becoming the champion, in Russia and parts of the former Soviet Union. I mean, they're rounding gays up. It's bad. And he is doing it not because he believes in it, but because he is trying to appeal to the uber strong Christian community.
Yeah, sure.
And
like I told, right, you're absolutely right. Like I told President Trump in my Super Bowl interview this year with him, Putin's a killer. All right. So you can't be akin to him. He's a killer. He'll do anything. I don't even know how Putin got in the race in Alabama, but I think if Putin ran against the Democrat, he'd win.
Bill O'Reilly, back in just a second. He might be right. I want to talk to you about Goldline. There is a huge difference between Bitcoin and Goldline. That's why I have a little bit of money in Goldline. Bitcoin, and I have 10% of what I own in gold. And I do that because I look at gold as a hedge against insanity. I don't look at it as a as something like I'm going to make $1 billion on. I just want to have something left when the world has gone completely insane. It is a hedge against inflation. It's a hedge against insanity. I look at it as an insurance policy. And, there are people that look at it as, you know, trying to get rich. I have something so we can rebuild the world in the end, because the world always goes back to gold. Now, because Goldline just was purchased by A-Mark, that's one of the largest publicly traded precious metal wholesalers, they can now offer you much more efficient ways to buy precious metals, and they are slashing their prices on the most popular products, and the prices have never been offered before. So call Goldline now, 1-866-GOLDLINE. Take advantage of the unprecedented special. If you have purchased gold or silver in the past, look at the price of gold now with Goldline. 1-866-GOLDLINE. 1-866-465-3546. Read their important risk information. Find out if gold or silver is right for you. 1-866-GOLDLINE or goldline.com.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
Welcome to the program, Mr. Bill O'Reilly. Bill, explain to America, did I just hear you say yo?
Yo, Rocky, yeah.
Yeah, okay, Rocky, okay, all right. That fits. Okay. Explain to America the FBI agent that hates Donald Trump and why that matters.
Okay. This situation really helps the president, number one, because no matter what Mueller comes up with now, it'll be tainted. So that's the headline, number one. Number two, if you have a high-ranking FBI investigator, and he was the number two in the Hillary Clinton email situation, this guy, all right, Strzok.
Explain what he did. Explain who he is first.
All right. So Peter Strzok is a high-ranking FBI guy who was assigned to the Clinton email case and who convinced Director Comey to be less inflammatory in his description of what Hillary Clinton did. All right, that's number one. Then after that, he was transferred to Mueller's office to look into the Russian collusion investigation. Okay. While he was there, he apparently wrote emails and texts to his mistress, also working for the FBI, disparaging Donald Trump. While he was investigating him, he was also disparaging him on email. The FBI found out about it, and they removed him from the case in August. But instead of telling the American people what happened, the FBI didn't tell anybody what happened and hoped that they could get away with not revealing that they had a high-ranking investigator on Mueller's staff trashing Trump behind the scenes. That is really bad, all right? That besmirches the FBI and Mueller. So now Strzok has been transferred to Fargo, North Dakota, or wherever. He's out. But the congressional investigators are saying, we want to see the emails and the texts. And if you don't hand them over, we're going to charge the Justice Department, Rod Rosenstein, who oversees Mueller, with contempt of Congress. And also the FBI director testified yesterday, okay, Ray, Christopher Ray, who came off as a total moron, with all due respect to Mr. Ray. He was asked questions he should have known. He knew he was going to be asked them. And he goes, well, I'll look into it. I really don't know. Bull. He should have been called out. He wasn't called out. All right. If I had been a senator, a congressman on that committee, I would have been outraged. I said, you knew what you were going to be asked. And you came in here ill-prepared. You're wasting our time. That's an outrage. And then I would have thrown a pie at him back. Probably a custard pie.
You know,
that's what happened.
I never thought of this before until just now.
Yeah.
You'd be a fun senator. Have you ever thought of that?
I'd be a blast.
You really would be.
But I'd last about 45 seconds before Media Matters accused me of murdering somebody in 1957 when I was six.
And definitely not in whatever that town is, that Levittown that you grew up in.
Levittown!
Yes.
Big deal, Beck. Don't disparage it.
So the FBI, you know, is tainted, which is why I believe the FBI itself needs to be investigated because they were tainted for Clinton. They may be tainted against Trump, but also I don't believe them on Russia. I mean, they have done too many weird things with Russia and kind of kicked dirt over the tracks on other topics with Russia.
Sure.
We need...
This thing is unraveling now.
Yeah. Okay.
And once those emails and texts come out to the public, the FBI is going to... You're right. They're going to have to be... A big investigation.
Glenn Beck.
You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Jerusalem is still the capital of Israel and must remain an undivided city accessible to all.
As soon as I take office, I will begin the process of moving the United States ambassador to the city of Israel as chosen as its capital.
I continue to say that Jerusalem will be the capital of Israel, and I have said that before, and I will say it again.
And Jerusalem will remain the capital of Israel, and it must remain undivided.
We will move the American embassy to the eternal capital of the Jewish people, Jerusalem.
Therefore, I have determined that it is time to officially recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. While previous presidents have made this a major campaign promise, they failed to deliver. Today, I am delivering.
I never thought he would do that. I actually apologized to the fans of Donald Trump today and told them I was wrong, you were right on this issue. he still has to move it. Otherwise, it's kind of like Obama's Bear Ears monument. But if he moves the if he actually moves the embassy, this is a really big deal, Bill.
Yeah, I think so. Most Americans aren't tuned into this. They don't really understand the history of it. It's a respect to Israel, and it basically tells the world that we are sympathetic to the Jewish state. And, of course, that sets the Arabs and the Muslim world off because they hate the Jews.
Right, and they hate us, too.
I'll agree. Not every nation, like Morocco, they don't hate us, but the real hardcore Muslim Arab fanatics, of course, hate the birthday, no doubt.
Yeah. So what does this mean, Bill?
It doesn't mean much other than Trump, even if you don't like him, is a guy who does respect his promises. He does. I mean, almost everything that he said is either done or underway. And the economy is picking up nicely. He's got a real shot if he stops the nonsense, the tweeting and the feuds. If he stops all that, he's got a real shot of getting reelected. And, you know, if he's smart about it. I want to tell you one thing, though. I don't know if I mentioned this on your program, but I predicted, and we discussed last week, that there's going to be a tremendous assault on President Trump coming.
Agree.
Probably come in January. Because he did get the tax reform passed, and the Democrats now say, well, we got to destroy him because he may get reelected. There is a tape, Beck, an audio tape, of an anti-Trump person offering $200,000 to a woman to accuse Donald Trump of untoward behavior.
So, you know, you have talked to me about this. You've talked to me about this tape. You've talked to me about it privately as well with additional information. Is this tape going to be released or?
Well, I may have to go to the U.S. attorney myself. I don't want to have to do that and inject myself into the story. But I had my lawyer listen to the tape, my attorney.
Right.
He's listened to it. There are at least three crimes on the tape. So as a citizen, I may have to do this.
I will tell you, now, Bill, that, that's what the first thing that you said, well, I'm trying to get it, you know, so it could be released. It needs to be released. And you weren't talking about getting it for you to release it, but it had to be out there. And I think the first time I said to you, if they don't, you got to bring it to the U.S. attorney.
It's in the hands of someone who knows the seriousness of the situation. All right.
What is their hesitancy?
I can't really get into that at this point, but I can tell you that Donald Trump knows about the tape, that the president knows it. And I'm, for the life of me, sitting here going, why on earth are you allowing a movement to try to smear you when you have a powerful, and I mean it's powerful, piece of evidence that shows this is an industry, that there are false charges and money changing hands? Okay, so it's so frustrating, but I wanted your listeners to know it's amazing, and it will change the whole discussion if it ever gets out.
So when do you decide
I have no idea. You know, it's a big legal thing, and I'm watching it, but I'm not going to let it go. I'm not going to let it go. So I can't give you any deadlines or anything like that, but I'm in this, and I'm not going to allow the country to be deceived. I'm just not. Not to say that Donald Trump didn't do stuff wrong. I mean, he did. But I'm not going to. I know there's an industry that pays people to smear other people.
Yeah.
And well, that's got to be exposed.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that some of the other accusers, but
no,
it is.
It's just, go ahead.
Yeah, it does show that, because I really believe, and it's not just going to be from the left, it'll be left, right, it'll be everybody. There will be people, if you can just continue to destroy people just by making an accusation, there will be people that will do it for money. And boy, would I like to say a few things on that right now, but I'm not going to with Mr. O'Reilly
and you,
here.
You know it's true, and so do I, and so does every powerful person in the country. Anyway, I wanted to tell you before you kick me off the air here that I got your Christmas card. Very nice. Glenn Beck sends great Christmas cards. But I wanted to ask you, have you made your Christmas gift list? Gifts that you're going to give people?
Well, did you get the 5 bitcoins in the Christmas card that I, because I know
no,
I put,
I didn't get anything from you, and I never do.
No, I put them in the envelope there.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, go check the envelope. You didn't throw that envelope away, did you?
No, no.
Yeah,
there's a nice little picture of you and everybody you've known in your entire life.
It's my family.
On the card.
Yeah, that's
right. Everybody's there.
So I have never received anything from Bill O'Reilly. Nothing for Christmas.
Oh, come on. I sent you a free sign, Killing England. And, you know, it's just so big that your staff probably stole it and didn't give it to you. But that's what I'm getting at. If you go to BillO'Reilly.com, Beck, as I know you do every day, because you want to get the best news analysis, you can get 4 free Killing books or any of my other books. Free. 4. Okay? And you can give them away with little bitcoins or whatever else you're doing. I have no idea what that is.
So in other words, I could give the gift of Bill O'Reilly all season long.
Stu desperately needs to read the books or have someone read them to him.
That's easier.
You get 4 free books if you buy 3 gift certificates to BillO'Reilly.com. That's 7 gifts, Beck.
Can I buy a Bill O'Reilly sweater or anything?
No, we don't have Bill O'Reilly sweaters, but we do have We Say Merry Christmas mats.
Mats?
Put outside your door to signal to the world that you say Merry Christmas.
Oh, you mean a mat?
So we have,
okay, yeah.
Yeah,
like a doormat. Yeah.
And we have all kinds of great stuff like that. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So it's a benign, uplifting website, Bill O'Reilly. com.
It's amazing.
And
where'd you get the idea of the door?
I know that I care deeply about
you. No, where'd you get the idea? Because I've been your doormat for a long time. So where did you get the idea of the doormats there, Bill?
The We Say Merry Christmas doormat
is a classic.
An item that you have to have.
Must.
If you say Merry Christmas.
You're saying, basically, you're not really even a fulfilled person if you don't have one.
No, but, you know, I'm going to have a mat next year that says, we hate Christmas, don't even mention it. So we'll be with the secular people, too.
Wow, that's great. Bill O'Reilly, thank you very much. From BillO'Reilly.com, and his new book is Killing England. Have a good weekend, Bill.
Yeah, you too.
We all know that a great night's sleep makes for an even better day. And that's why Casper has worked tirelessly, taking years of data and testing and sleep science. And they created their new innovative new mattress called the Wave to help you get the best sleep yet. And if you're not sleeping on a Casper, then you're missing out. I'm sleeping on a Casper and I'm having the best night's sleep I have had. It features a patent-pending support system that mirrors your body's natural curvature for a deeper, more restorative sleep. Casper, it has a new top layer that's incredibly soft but doesn't get in the way of you experiencing the support you need below. Like the original, the Wave is designed of breathable foam so you can sleep cool year-round. Try it in your own home for 100 nights, risk-free, with free in-home delivery and setup. So go to Casper.com and use the promo code Beck. Save $50 on your purchase. That is Casper.com, promo code Beck. Minimum purchase is required. See site for complete details. Terms and conditions do apply. It's Casper.com, promo code Beck.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
Welcome to the program. So very glad that you are here today. Thank you for listening. By the way, I'm doing something that I've never done before. I've been talking about reading The Immortal Nicholas with my family and my son. And so starting Monday, live, and this will be only for subscribers to theblaze.com/TV. It will not be on the TV network or anything else. This is only on for subscribers of the Blaze TV. Kind of a Christmas added kind of feature. I would love to read The Immortal Nicholas with your family. So Rafe and I are going to read. We read in bed usually every night, or we try to. And so we're going to read The Immortal Nicholas, and it'll be every night up until Christmas Eve. And we'll get through it together because, no, it's a great Christmas story. It's the story of Santa. I wrote it a couple of years ago, and it was my effort to bring Santa into the fold and back pointing towards Christ. And it's a great story. It is my favorite story that I've ever been involved with or, you know, came up with. I love this story.
It's obviously the exception being, of course, the Christmas Twist, the movie that airs every year.
No.
That's obviously a better effort.
Nope.
I mean, your part wasn't that great, but I mean, it didn't hurt the movie that much.
Right.
So it is that time of year where people think.
Stu has a movie on the Blaze network, again, just for subscribers, The Christmas Twist, mm-hmm. which is his salute to Lifetime, to the Lifetime movies. And
Lifetime, Hallmark.
Mm-hmm. And they had this is almost as good.
And I think it was Hallmark who last year
ripped it off.
Basically, I mean, I like to think it was a tribute. But they made it. They basically made a serious version of the parody that we did.
Yeah.
About a Christmas cookie salesperson. Yeah. So it's basically the exact same movie, and they're playing that again this year. And every time it airs, I get a bunch of messages at World of Stew on Twitter to remind me that they've ripped off our story.
Yeah, they did.
But I think that's actually awesome.
Yeah. So you can watch both of those things. This starts on Monday, the reading of The Immortal Nicholas. And I invite you to bring your family and just kind of, you know, you can watch it as it is unfolding, or you can just download it any time and watch it with your family. But my family is kind of sick of hearing my stories. And so I have one daughter who wants me to read, Edgar Allan Poe, which we started years ago when she was young, every Halloween. And everybody else in the family is like, oh, geez, Dad's doing that again. So I'm just looking for new people that want to hear these stories because I love reading out loud and I love reading the stories to kids in my family. So if you'd like to join us, you can, but only as a subscriber at theblaze.com/TV. So
now that does not, unfortunately, that membership does not get you access to the company Christmas party, which is happening this weekend. And we're all very excited about it. I would say the tension and excitement is palpable throughout the entire establishment.
I hate this. This is the worst.
You hate it?
I hate it.
You hate it?
I hate it.
It's interesting that you would, because I mean, you'd have you could stop it. You know, you're
the Christmas party?
You could stop it. You run the company. You could get us all out of it. Because if you don't like it.
Well, I was told that it was like something that everybody wanted to do.
Yeah, look, here's the thing. A lot of people tell you a lot of things.
I am so open on that. I am so open on that. If nobody wants to do this, I am totally good. I am totally good.
Are you
saying because I don't want to go because I'm just so awkward. I'm a drag at parties. I don't ever know what to say. It's just really weird. And I just stand there in the corner like, and everybody's like, oh, geez, we better go say hi.
We got to go by and do our pen.
Yeah, I hate it.
Go back and talk to Glenn.
So what I have done for this Christmas party, do you know this?
I don't know it.
We are going to play human bowling. And I am going to be the 10 pin, okay? Mm-hmm. And we're taking all the managers and some of the other people. We can vote on who's going to be a pin, but I would imagine I should be the main pin. Mm-hmm. And I get into a big bowling pin suit.
Okay.
Okay? Mm-hmm. And it's only my face outside of the bowling pin suit.
Mm-hmm.
And we put all of the managers there. And then two people get into a giant bowling ball. And in the atrium here, they have to move their bodies. They hang on inside of the bowling ball.
Right.
And they're with their
human force,
they roll the ball and see if they can roll a strike. So that's my contribution to the Christmas party.
That may juice it up a little bit. I'm actually interested in that.
Yeah, I mean,
have you seen what Vox is doing?
No.
With their Christmas party?
No.
And this is happening apparently in a lot of companies now. They are handing out drink tickets to their employees just to make sure they don't get too rapey. They're a little concerned. There might be a little bit too much rape going on at their company. So they're not letting people drink more than two drinks at the Christmas party because this is what happens.
You know, there's a little too much touchy-feely, a little too much, you know, maybe not enough people asking the appropriate question, may I use your body, every time you talk to someone.
We have to get into that before we leave today. That is so fantastic. May I use your body?
That's apparently the appropriate question you're supposed to ask other employees when you come near them.
No. No.
No. Who says yes to a question like
may
that?
May I just use your body for a second? No. No, you may not.
But they're worried. That apparently their left-wing staff is going to start raping each other.
Yeah, I don't have that concern.
No?
I do not have that concern. So there's no, you know, there's no special rules or anything. In fact, get into the bowling ball and bowl the pins.
Wow.
Knock them all down.
There you go.
Yeah. I'm a little uncomfortable with the way you're touching me with that bowling ball, but.
Glenn Beck. Love, courage, truth. Glenn Beck.
Kind of been an interesting week for the FBI and the Department of Justice. A veteran FBI agent has been dismissed from the investigation over his anti-Trump bias. We later found out the same agent was the one that interviewed Mike Flynn. Oh, and actually signed the initial paperwork that opened up the Trump-Russia investigation. We also found out yesterday that one of the FBI's prosecutors is the former attorney who represented Ben Rhodes and the Clinton Foundation. She's also donated thousands of dollars to the Hillary Clinton campaign and to the DNC. So after all of this came out just over the past week, the list isn't even complete. A senior official at the DOJ was just demoted for his contacts with Fusion GPS. Fusion GPS, yes, that is the firm that works both for and with the Russians and for and with the Clinton campaign. They're the ones responsible for the whole dossier that kicked the whole thing off. So it might be that the deck has been stacked just a little bit. The investigation has begun throwing down indictments right and left. But where was this intensity for justice with Hillary Clinton? Mike Flynn was nailed for lying to the FBI, but Cheryl Mills and Uma Abedin, they weren't. We all knew that Hillary Clinton was guilty, at very least, of mishandling classified information. Why wasn't she ever indicted? Remember that FBI agent that was just, you know, released, the name was released, and then he was fired for bias? Yeah. Yeah, he's the agent that interviewed both Mills and Abedin. And no charges were filed for lying, which would have been his decision. He's also the one that changed the wording of Comey's statement on Hillary Clinton from grossly negligent to extremely careless. See, my mom told me that sticks and stones can't break your bones. Names will never hurt me, but words do matter. Extremely careless. Oh, I remember. You can't put anybody in jail for extremely careless, but you can indict them on grossly negligent. Now, maybe it's just me, but the Clinton investigations seem like they were conducted with the intention of finding exoneration rather than finding justice. So why are they treating her differently than they're treating Donald Trump? I want you to know, I think Hillary Clinton is guilty. And I have a sneaking suspicion that Trump is guilty on this, too. But who do you trust? How are we ever going to know? Everything that's being done now is for politics. If the FBI and DOJ can't check their bias at the door, it's time to bring in outside investigators, because clearly there is a problem. Who's watching the watchers?
It's Friday, December 8th. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Oh, who's watching the watchers? I forgot that's the media's job. Oh, but they haven't done that in a long time, so how can we possibly trust them? Character matters. It matters. Clean the things out in your own life so when the world is more insane than it already is,
people will believe you. Don't play politics. Don't. Stay consistent. Know what you believe and do not go over the cliff with the rest of humanity. All right. Welcome to the program. There's a few things here that we have on our plate today. We have Randy Quaid, which I really want to get to. What else do we have?
You have been saying you want to get to the Randy Quaid issue for a while.
I do like this story.
It is not necessarily determined what the Randy Quaid issue is.
I know, but you will like it. You will like it.
I will like it.
Yes.
Okay. We do have that. We have this poll on Star Wars.
Star Wars, yes.
I don't know if you're interested in that.
I have the results of a poll about millennials. Would you replace your human lover with a droid?
Right.
I can give you the results of that.
I'm interested in that one because I want to know if you have to talk to your droid and ask them the question, may I use your body? Because that is
a good one. We've got to get to this one.
You want
to
do that one?
All right,
first?
Wait. Let's do Randy Quaid quickly.
You can't do the Randy Quaid thing quickly.
Okay. All right.
Can you do the Randy Quaid quickly?
No.
If you can do it,
I'm
going to
follow you. And then what's going to happen by the end of the show? We will not do the Randy Quaid thing yet again, Mr. Executive Producer. You have a problem. You have a real problem. This is when you find out the whole story, you can see his either pro-Trump or anti-Trump bias coming through. I don't know which one it is, but you'll see it.
I'm actually very concerned that Randy Quaid will become president of the United States, so I'm nervous to draw attention to him. Can we do the thing from yesterday, though? Because we've gone through this for a while
now. This is on Jimmy Kimmel, right?
Yeah, Jimmy Kimmel had a guest on that was trying to teach people how to not sexually harass others.
Okay, I am not going over the cliff with the rest of humanity. I do not need my company to spend an hour or two teaching you how not to harass people. Sorry, I'm not going to do it. If you don't know what sexual harassment is, you're fired. That's it.
Well, I mean, does anyone know what it is now, though? I don't know what it is anymore.
And I'm not going over the cliff that, you know, he asked me out on a date. That's sexual harassment. No, it's not. It's him asking you out on a date. Now, if he's asked you on the date over and over in a really creepy way and you keep saying no, it's harassment.
Like
but
if he
came up to you and was like, hey, you want to get together and, you know, go have dinner? That's not sexual harassment.
For example, you return from lunch.
Yes.
You walk into your office and will you go out with me is scrawled in blood on your office wall.
Okay, like that might be more than just sexual harassment.
A little
that's
over
just
the line.
Spooky.
Okay,
that's just spooky. I'm going to fire you for being spooky.
Well, and also the maintenance issues of cleaning up
of the
blood. There's all sorts of other things. So Tracy Ellis Ross, she was on the Jimmy Kimmel Show. And she was discussing...
She's a serial killer, I can tell you right now.
Because she has three names?
Three names.
Okay. And Amanda Cadenette, we're talking about how a man should properly hug a woman. And I want you to understand the advice here, because it's very important. And you need to apply this to your daily life.
Yes, you do.
Listen.
When you greet me, do not push your whole body against me like this.
Nope.
I do not want to feel your...
Okay, you can do this.
Okay, you can do that.
Safe hug.
It's the A-line hug.
Yep.
The A-frame hug.
Move the bits away.
The other one to do is the sideways hug, like this.
This one.
Okay.
That just means you're going into the shoulder.
Okay.
There's no forward pieces connecting.
Forward pieces.
The other thing is, do not do this.
Okay, this is another one.
Stop for a second. What they did was they... hugged, and she said, don't do this, and she put her hands on the other person's butt. You'll notice that ABC is not even using a male for this, not using Jimmy Kimmel for this. It's some woman, maybe a fill-in host.
Women,
It's a woman dressed in a suit with a tie. So she's playing the man. So you have two women doing this to each other. This is insane.
Apparently... It's okay to grope another woman for television purposes.
Well, you couldn't put this on. Jimmy Kimmel couldn't have put this on because if they would have laughed like they did, well, don't do this, and she's grabbing the butt, You can't show that. Even, I mean, you're joking. Because this is office sexual harassment.
Because even
they're
if,
at work,
even if they laugh, Glenn. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The power structure of this exactly show right. is that Jimmy Kimmel is the guy, and
exactly
anything that
right.
he does
exactly
to
right.
another woman, she has no power to say no
right.
to. She has no ability
right.
to show any displeasure to the situation.
Right.
She just simply goes along with it
correct.
Because she's worried about her job prospects.
Correct.
And that is what apparently America is telling us about women today, that they cannot say no. They have no power to say no.
Well, you have to be asked in a certain way. Listen to the rest of this mm-hmm. clip, please.
Okay, yeah, this is another one. This is a pet
not
peeve
okay.
of mine. May I use your body
please.
For a moment? Again,
I'm consenting.
Did you just hear that? May I use your body for a moment? It's a
yes.
simple question.
Yes.
It's a simple question.
It's a simple question. It's also, may I hug you?
Absolutely.
Right? Okay, so this is the other one. This area. This,
oh,
men love this area, it seems. This is a very tender area for okay. ladies.
It's vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very vulnerable.
And it's not
vulnerable?
An area you necessarily want someone to touch, and it is a vulnerable area.
Stop for a second.
You know,
it is the small of the back. Mm-hmm.
A vulnerable area.
It's a vulnerable area.
Yes, and
okay.
apparently so. Apparently so. Because it's, I guess, near... Is it because it's near the butt?
Kinda? I don't know.
Well, it's a very vulnerable area. But, you know, look, there are things... they've given us a clear path to success
mm-hmm.
here. When you walk up to a woman and you were thinking about giving her a hug, mm-hmm. you don't just do it. You just stop and you say to the woman, hey, may I use your body?
She says,
and she's gonna
good
say,
question.
Great question.
Yes or no,
yes
depending.
Or no.
Yeah, you know.
And then you get to, I guess, do what you do.
Yeah.
But the point is, once you have to get to her to agree to let her use for you,
you
to use yeah. her body.
Right.
And
so ask the question
not,
again. Hi, Stu. How are you? I'm a stranger. We just met.
Oh, hi. May I use your body?
Sure.
Sure. That's how that conversation will go.
Right.
In case you were concerned about it. Because some people might think in this... And this is antiquated, it's weird, it's old person thought.
Mm-hmm.
But some people might think that if you walk up to a stranger and say, may I use your body, that might be worse than a hug. There are some people who think that if you were to say that to any female in the universe, you might instantly find yourself in the HR department. But
what a pervert. He was asking if I could he could use my body. What was he going to use it for? He's going to hump my leg like a dog? What? I have a very vulnerable spot in my back.
Is it me or is may I use your body a
worse.
Little bit of a blank check?
Yeah, it's worse.
I feel like it's...
There's nobody that you could say. Nobody. May I couldn't even say that to my wife. May I use your body for a second? No.
No.
Who would She's ever married say, to me and she would say no.
Who would ever say yes to that question? Unless you're a dominatrix? The only appropriate person who's going to ask that.
And they both look at the camera like, right, no, it's a legitimate question. That's what it's an easy question to ask. May I use your body? No. No, it's not.
That is absolutely ends you up. You're immediately in HR by the end of that day if you ask one person that question seriously. If you walked up to someone seriously and said, may I use your body in a business context, you are immediately either fired or suspended.
All right.
Right?
I'm going to give you the robot thing.
Okay.
Okay. Cause this fits. If I asked you, would you, do you feel it's normal to form a friendship with a robot?
Mm-hmm.
What do you say?
I would say it is not normal.
Okay. Do you think it's normal to have a romantic relationship with robots?
I would say it is not normal.
It's not normal.
Mm-hmm.
Would you replace your human lover for a droid, an android?
I would not.
You would not?
I would not choose to do that.
How many people do you know, do you think would, not counting Jeffy?
So you're taking out Jeffy.
I'm taking out Jeffy.
Because I did have one,
yeah,
but now I have
now
none.
You have none. Mm-hmm. You have no friends.
I have no friends that
no,
would do
seriously
that.
Think about that. You have no friends that you could, that, you know, you could go, yeah, yeah, they might do that. You have no friends.
And you said Jeffy is not included.
And Jeffy is not included.
I do
Carry
not
the one.
Think I have any friends yeah. who would be interested in such an
I do not either.
Right.
I do not either.
I can't, no.
Survey 12,000 people, mixed ages worldwide. They found in the UK, men were three times likely to agree that they could have a relationship with a robot in the future compared to women. A romantic relationship with robots will be more common than you might think, with a report suggesting that they would be taken up by as many as 27% of 18 to 34 year olds. So 27% of 18 to 34 year olds say, yeah, I'd have sex with a robot over a person.
And those ages are when your partner actually looks good.
Yeah. It only gets only downhill from there, baby. And you know something? I think that's the only time you could walk into a room and say, may I use your body? Yes. That's something you ask an android, not a human.
Yeah, right. I mean,
kind of in a creepy sort of way.
May I use your body?
No, you don't. It doesn't ask you. You ask it.
Hopefully,
who's
at least asks
charge?
You.
Who's in charge?
As you pointed out, who is in charge?
Yeah, they will be in charge quickly. Believe it or not, 2018 is just a couple of weeks away. That's nuts. Has this year been the fastest yet? That means January 1st, your car is going to be another year older, and it'll cost you more to fix. More good news. If you're out of your manufacturer's warranty, here's good news. Getting extended vehicle protection from CarShield could save you thousands. Now, I have this with my cars. I have an old truck, a 2008, and, you know, it's past warranty, and it's in really good shape, but, you know, it's going to need stuff. The transmission is going to go, and I don't want to, I mean, the transmission is going to cost me a fortune if that goes. So get the peace of mind that comes with being covered by CarShield, the ultimate extended coverage. If you have an older car and you've taken care of it and you want to keep it and you know the bills are coming for it, this is affordable protection that can save you hundreds, even thousands of dollars in covered repair. They even have plans that cover your car's computer, the GPS, electronics, and so much more. So if your car is 3 to 12 years old, it doesn't mean that you have to pay high repair bills. You can have your favorite mechanic or dealership do the work, and CarShield will get them paid directly. Sign up today. Special welcome bonus. You're going to get 24/7 roadside assistance and a rental car while yours is in the shop. Their administrators have paid up almost $2 billion in claims already. They're going to get you covered. Get covered with extended vehicle service protection before it's too late. Call 1-800-CAR-6100. That's 800-CAR-6100. Mention the promo code Beck or visit carshield.com and use the promo code Beck and you'll save 10%. Do it right now. Carshield.com, promo code Beck. Deductible may apply.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
I'm very upset at Mr. Steve Regeer, formerly our executive producer.
Formerly? Well. Ooh. All right. What's Bitcoin at? Can I retire yet?
Nope. Not yet. By the way.
Why are you mad at me?
Bitcoin goes up to $50,000 or $100,000. And let's say you have 50 of them.
Okay.
Do you even call in to work to say, see ya?
There's a lot of hypotheticals that have not matched up to reality in that particular equation. But
you have 50 Bitcoin, mm-hmm. goes up to $100,000, and
that's what
you can,
$5 million.
$5 million you can cash in. Mm-hmm. Do you even call into the office and go, "I quit"?
Me personally?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
So you know, neither do I.
Okay.
Neither do I.
Okay,
I'm not here. Right. And all of a sudden, there's, where's Glenn? I don't know. Bitcoin, I think. So anyway, just want to throw that in.
So wait, why am I getting fired? You didn't.
Because you chose incorrectly. You promised me we would have time for the challenge to Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump in 2020, and now we're not going to have time.
Well, we've got 2 minutes here. We can easily cover. I'm sure that, right? What is this the Randy Quaid story?
Yes, it is. Randy Quaid is going to challenge Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump in 2020. Now,
the guy from Christmas Vacation and Independence Day.
Oh, I did. No, that was a character.
No,
that was a character.
No, no, I'm talking about the insane guy, not the crazy guy in the camper.
Or the crazy guy who comes to visit. Or the crazy, they're both,
he's both in campers.
Campers. Both
yes, he was. So neither, he's not that guy. Okay. This is the guy who.
This is the guy that can't afford a camper.
This is the, yeah, this mm-hmm. is the guy that moved to Canada and Canada just kicked him out. Okay. Can we please play Afraid to Come to the States, Stay in Canada, please, Randy Quaid?
You say that you're staying in Vancouver, you're staying in Canada because you don't want to come to the States because you're afraid of these people who are out to kill celebrities and you specifically. Why do you have that fear?
I have a fear, that fear because they're, for the last 3 years and really the last 20 years, there I've been racketeered on.
He's been racketeered
on.
Play They Follow Us, please.
They follow us. They tail us. They tag our cell phone. They hack our computer. We can't send email. We make a call, and right in the middle of the call, the whole system will shut down.
Whole system will shut down.
It will.
Yeah, there's more. He's certifiably insane, but what a great... What, Randy Quaid, Bernie Sanders, and Donald Trump?
That's a debate.
Oh, that's a debate
Glenn
I gotta
Beck.
See.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Welcome to the program, Mr. Pat Gray. How are you, Pat?
I'm good.
Good.
And you?
Are you?
You,
are you
Glenn?
Really good?
I'm perfect.
Because I know that you're a little worried about the people in Washington, D.C.
Yes, I am.
Yeah.
I mean, there's been three members of Congress that resigned this week, Conyers, Franken, and Trent Franks.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just have five suggestions for
her. Oh,
five.
Five suggestions.
I so don't know if that's a lot.
Well, but it's half of the Ten Commandments.
Right.
Right? That
okay.
should be.
And these
but
are
how many
commandments.
Of those do you
these
know?
Are just good safety tips.
All right.
Okay.
Well, look, you could say that about the Ten Commandments.
You could.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You could.
But we don't.
And these don't come from God. They just come from me.
Okay.
So take them with a grain of salt
All
if
right.
you're heading to Congress.
Well, I'm not as offended if they come from you as opposed to God.
Okay, good. Well, my first suggestion is that if you're in an interview, uh-huh. and you're a member of Congress,
yes.
and you're ever asked, so you're saying that you've never squeezed a woman's butt?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
The response, no, I can't say that I haven't, is not an ideal response.
Okay.
You might want to try something
so
else.
So suboptimal.
Right. Yes.
So wait a minute.
Say,
that implies that you should write down the times or at least remember
all the times that you've squeezed women's butts.
Yeah. All the times?
All of the times.
No, just... let's say half.
Okay.
Half of the times you squeeze women's butts.
All right.
Don't
this
ask...
This is number two.
This is number two.
Number two.
Don't ask several of your female aides if they'd enjoy being impregnated with your man seed.
Okay.
And then after you carry the baby to term, you give the baby back to him. That's not a good thing to ask a female aide.
Right.
Now, that's confirmed?
That is confirmed.
Or you're just saying you're suggesting...
It's a suggestion that it's confirmed.
Because we did not talk about this today.
I missed the...
Oh, you don't know the surrogate
the Trent
thing?
Franks
Trent
thing,
Franks?
Yeah.
Not the man seed thing. Is that what he actually said?
I don't know if he specifically put it that way, but he asked me if they'd be surrogates for
his statement,
man seed.
Though, was so weird. It was
so
like,
weird.
We've had problems. We needed to get surrogates. And I'm resigning today because I talked to staffers about that. That's how he put it, basically.
Yeah, that's not
you're
a
like,
reason.
Wait a minute. What the hell? Why would you resign?
Why would you
talk?
Resign?
That makes no
right.
sense at all. And so the speculation is he was walking around to his young aides and saying, hey, can I impregnate you? Hey, how about you? Hey, you over there right now. How about you? But it's not indicated in his statement
so it's
at
really
all.
Kind of icky if he was using that as a way to get lucky.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
He's using this now as a cover.
It doesn't seem like a super turn on.
No.
To me.
No.
And that's only step two?
That's only step two.
I think you've already asked too much. Honestly,
okay, really?
Myself,
okay.
I think
this is going too far.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. The third suggestion. Again, these are just safety tips. You don't have to take them if you don't want to.
Okay.
These are for people who want to go to Congress.
People who want to go to Congress.
Okay. So far.
Suggestion number three
yep.
is don't fondle the sleeping woman's snoobs. Okay. And then giggle as someone snaps a photo of you enjoying the moment.
So one of the two is okay.
I'm out.
I know you're out.
Yeah.
I know that does it.
One of the two is okay.
You can either fondle right. the snoobs or giggle during snapping of a photo.
Got it.
But
got
not
it.
Both at the same
okay.
time.
Okay. All right.
Safety tip number four. Mm-hmm. Don't grab hold of a woman's butt cheek during a photo op or at any other time of the day or night.
Now, the Photoshop thing seemed reasonable, but you're saying day or night.
Day or night, don't reach down during a photo op.
Yeah, but you're not
even
saying
if you do thousands
you're not
of
saying,
them.
But you're not saying.
And grab a handful of buttocks.
That's yeah, but, just Monday through Friday, though, right?
Yes, yeah. That doesn't apply to the weekend.
Okay, good. All right. Okay.
And if you take a lot of photos, I think there's got to be a limit. Like, if you're doing, like, say, 100 do, photos a year, no, you
then
shouldn't.
No, but then, if you're doing thousands.
What if you're yes. in a very crowded room and people are bumping into you?
Well, it's
and
bound it's to happen then.
It's chaotic.
Yeah.
It's chaotic.
Yeah. It's people bumper cars that yeah. happens.
You're, okay. Tip number five.
Don't waltz around the office fully nude, even if you're 88, because it may limit the terms that you wind up serving to around 30.
You may
only be able to serve 30 terms if wow. you wander around your office place naked.
Wow. Oh, that's unbelievable.
And you can't have that. I mean, you want to be there it. Until you're a...
I thought you had some clout. If you were a congressman, now they're saying you can't walk around naked in the Capitol?
They're getting so picky now.
Oh, my gosh.
They are getting
Our
so,
founders would
so
be.
Picky.
Yeah. Okay, so Pat, we're doing a. I'm thinking about starting a futures market, you know, on the people in Washington that are probably going to, you know. I'm just saying, I don't have any evidence or anything, but I got a gut feeling.
Okay,
I'm going to show you some faces here.
Yeah,
and you tell me, would you put money on? Yep, they're going to be coming up soon.
Okay,
okay, for harassment.
So
okay.
it's yes. They may be charged with sexual harassment or no. They,
no, you, it's not even charged with. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that something's coming out. Something's
they
coming
say
out.
Now they're saying 40 is the number. Mm-hmm. Neil King, former Wall Street Journal deputy bureau chief, tweets that he is hearing the total number of congressmen with sexual harassment skeletons 40? May top 40.
Really?
May top 40.
Good. Oh, man.
Good.
Well,
good. Get them out. OK, you ready?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Here's number one. Joe Biden.
Yes.
Wait, you didn't even
hesitate. Yes.
He's the vice president.
Yes.
Yeah, there's no chance. I don't believe that he's not a sexual harasser.
I don't either.
Because
you could come out with expert after expert going, no, he's absolutely not somebody who's grabbed women's asses. And I will not believe you.
If you had video of him of every moment of every day and had no footage of it, I still wouldn't believe it.
The stuff that he has done that is so creepy.
How about the motorcycle chick sitting on his lap at the bar?
Yeah.
That was creepy all by itself.
Creepy.
Especially, by the way, by these new rules, right?
Yes.
Like, if any contact whatsoever, I mean, he's all over these women on camera.
Yeah. And sometimes
imagine what he's doing
young
when
young teenage girls.
Oh, yeah. Underage girls as well. Yeah.
So this one is, he's not in politics now, so it may make him safe for a while.
Okay.
Charlie Crist.
Very possible.
Mm-hmm.
Very possible. Mm-hmm. With male or female?
Well, that's a good point because Joy Ann Reid, the MSNBC host, informed
her thing
us.
Was that he was gay, right?
Right, and she all sorts of anti-gay slurs and such against him.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So kind of an out on Charlie Crist, right? Yeah, not sure.
Yeah.
Joe Biden, it definitely.
Definitely.
Yes, I'm putting money down on him.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Chuck Schumer.
Chuckles. I don't know if he would.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so. I'm going to put him in the I don't think so category. Ben Cardin.
I don't even know who he is.
Right? Yeah, I'm going to put him in the I don't know who he is
category.
All right. Mm-hmm.
That's what a lot of times, though. A lot of these people who have come out in the last few weeks would be like, who's that?
Yeah.
Oh, it's a Congress. That guy's in Congress.
Yeah,
like that's happened to me several times recently.
Anthony Weiner.
Yes.
Again, in prison.
Again, he's right next to Joe Biden.
Mm-hmm.
Bernie Sanders.
Oh, I hope so. But
I mean, listen to his old comments about women and how they they want to be raped. Remember that whole thing?
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Oh my gosh, I do.
So maybe yes. Let's say yes on Bernie.
Good
you're gonna
chance.
Say yes. Or you're gonna say eh? And he go into the Joe Biden, Anthony Weiner, or just below it.
Below it.
Yeah, I
put
him below
I don't know.
That.
I mean, he really made outlandish statements.
He did, though,
he definitely believed at one time some really creepy things about what women wanted, and he made it pretty clear and detailed.
We got to listen to those. Let's play those Monday. Okay. I'd like to listen to those. Tim Kaine.
He's too.
I put him in the Sanders category, probably. Possible, but.
Oh, I put him below Sanders.
Yeah, cause I feel like there's a dad. He's got that weird, like, hey, I'm hokey sort of dad thing going on. I don't know.
I put him. I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so. Above Schumer, but below the Bernie Sanders. Martin O'Malley.
I could see that. Because maybe. Martin O'Malley, you know, he thinks he's a good-looking guy. He thinks women love him.
Uh-huh.
A lot of that, you know, there was one guy who's tweeted something like, if someone is known as a ladies' man, that means they're a sexual harasser. That was like some journalist was tweeting that.
Seems to be the case in Matt Lauer's situation.
Right, and Charlie Rose apparently was the same type of thing. Like, he was known as that.
Yeah, I might put him in. I might put him in the Bernie Sanders area. Yeah. You can listen to her. Okay. Just below, maybe. Harry Reid.
Yes.
Now, you don't have any evidence.
Yes.
I don't have any evidence, but I just think he's a bad guy.
I will say
he's just a bad guy.
You think yes?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I have to side with Pat here because I didn't tell you guys this. I received a call in my office the other day.
Office? Boy. Was it somebody? Say the name?
I can't say who it was.
All right.
I can't give you any details about it. I can't give you time.
They called you right to your office?
I don't even have your office number, but they did?
Yeah. They did. Huh. And they said...
I don't think he even has a phone in his office.
It's confirmed. Confirmed.
Yeah. Confirmed.
Harry Reid sexually harassed every woman he's ever been around.
Every woman he's ever been around.
Is that just over the last 12 years, or is that the whole time he was in?
The whole time he was in Congress. Actually from birth.
So what does Harry Reid do with that now?
Well, he's going to have to disprove it. He's going to have to come out. He's going to answer for it.
It's out there.
It's out there now. Right. After that phone call came in. So.
All right. So all of the Mitt Romney payback aside, where do you put him in? The Anthony Weiner, Joe Biden?
Probably the Bernie Sanders area.
Bernie Sanders area.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's probably fair.
Steve Bannon.
Oh, I think so, yeah.
Have you ever read the stories about the Breitbart embassy?
No.
Lots of, he's got a house, and that's where they do, like, in Washington that he rents from some Egyptian businessman, I think.
It's sounding better and better, like somebody sure went around our president every second.
Apparently, lots of, the parties are a little wild, and, that's...
Where do you put him?
I don't know. I mean, this is your game.
Are you afraid of him? Look him in the eye and tell him.
It's just a picture. I have no idea. But I think he's... I don't know. I will say Bannon creeps me out a little bit.
I'd put him in the Biden area.
Creeps me out.
Definitely in the Biden area.
All right. So, I mean, Anthony Weiner is kind of a cop-out because he's already in jail.
No, but that's why I think there's a specific thing here. Weiner, I'm talking about an additional accusation from jail. Actually is sexually harassing people while in prison.
He just can't help himself.
I believe that's I'm going to put him back in, because I believe that.
Because you might say, wait a minute, he's not even around women.
Yeah, sexual harassment from Anthony Weiner in the next 2 years.
While he's in prison. And I think it's letters to 15-year-olds, to pen pals.
Don't know.
Absolutely happening.
Don't know. Could be to the warden's daughter. He's that stupid.
He's that stupid.
Joe Biden.
I just feel, I mean, like, I, you know... A lot of people say he's a good guy.
There's a lot of videotape that we've gone over for the years that is just creepy as hell.
A little creepy.
Yeah. And then Steve Bannon.
Yep.
So those are the ones. If we had to put money down today.
We're not accusing these people of anything,
obviously. We're just enjoying the guilty until you prove you're innocent sort of way of America.
Because a big part of that, too, I will say, is having the right enemies, right? If you're not going to get accused if you're, generally speaking, you have to have people who are really going after you.
That's what will save Bernie Sanders.
Because he has...
Because anybody that he was, molesting, already assuming he's guilty, anybody that he was touching their butts on and acting inappropriately, the people around will be like, this is too important. The cause is too important.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the same thing could be said for people like Steve Bannon. No, the cause is too important. Don't destroy. Yes, he's a bad guy, but.
But also on the other side, enemies, right? There's a lot of people in the Democratic Party who do not like Bernie Sanders. There's a lot of people who do not like Steve Bannon. Like
The people who were around Steve Bannon and the people who are around Bernie Sanders close enough to do that, they're believers in the cause.
And these people are just vessels of trying to help the cause. And so they're not, it's not like they're going to go hang out. You know, the Steve Bannon person, if he was touching somebody's butt, they're not going to go and say to the Bernie Sanders people, I got to tell you, this is what happened. Right. They're going to tell people that are on the same side. And those, some of those people will say, hey, don't rock the boat. Don't rock the boat. That's what kept Bill Clinton in office. And it's kept him as an icon for all these years.
We do have a breaking development in the Roy Moore election.
This is big.
And what did we say when this happened? First of all, there's all these accusers. Many of them are not even accusing him of crimes, right? Yeah. There's one really significant accusation from a 14-year-old girl.
I think what we said is, we'll believe anything except the Gloria Allred.
Right. First of all, that was what...
And then,
that's true.
We won't accept that. And then the yearbook... No man has ever dotted their I with a heart.
No, yeah,
or a circle.
This one was the E.
Oh,
it was a. It was like a bubble E. And I said, no man has ever written an E like that. This audio is now just coming out with the accuser. Let's listen to it.
Beverly, he signed your yearbook.
He did sign it.
And you made some notes underneath.
Yes.
So in other words,
wait, what?
Yes.
There you go.
Not what she said it was. Thank you, Gloria Allred.
Wow. We'll come back with more in a second.
All right. Good night's sleep. Easier said than done, especially if you hear a noise downstairs. You could sleep with one eye open, or you can rest easy knowing that your home and family are protected with Simply Safe. Every Simply Safe system is a complete arsenal. Order Simply Safe online in minutes, and you can have it at your doorstep in a couple of days. Just open the box, plug it in, and your home is protected within 30 minutes. Professional home security. There's no tools, no hard wiring, nothing. Professional monitoring is $14.99 a month. There is no contract, and you own the system. It's the best. SimplySafeBeck.com. For a special 10% discount, get it now. SimplySafeBeck.com.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
Quickly, I just want to remind you that tomorrow, we'll probably post on my Facebook page, Human Bowling. It's our Christmas party, and I'm always very awkward, and I decided to make it even more so with Human Bowling in our studio. So that's happening tomorrow night. Just watch it on Facebook. Also, Monday, The Immortal Nicholas. My son and I are going to be reading from our home, and we're going to do that every night. We'll read with your family, The Immortal Nicholas. That is starting on Monday, only for Blaze subscribers. It's not going to be on TV or anything else. It's just on theblaze.com/TV.
This Roy Moore thing is a big deal, I think, from the perspective of, you know,
it discredits,
I think, one of the accusers partially.
Yeah. The Gloria Allred accuser.
And that was one of the only two crimes he was committed of or accused of. So it's a big deal in that race that, of course, the election's just next week.
You'll find more on that at theblaze.com. Have a safe weekend.
Glenn Beck.